I'd like to suggest there are at least three ways, many more than that, but at least three ways of looking at the ascension. One is the mode of popular imagination. Everybody has seen all of those Renaissance paintings where a bunch of these guys standing up looking skyward, and here's this ethereal Jesus sort of floating upward like a hot air balloon, and the implication seems to be that well, he's just returning to his native habitat, and there doesn't seem to be any more to it than that. Jesus going home. Well, that doesn't get us very far. It's pretty thin stuff. And there, it comes out of, obviously, a literalist reading of this passage of Luke, who was big into colorization of religious reality. And so that's why you have all kinds of details about how fast Jesus was ascending, etc. Okay, then there's the Gospel of John, which has a much different take than the other Gospels, which says that Jesus was God's pre-existent Word, who then took on flesh as God's self-expression, and so that people, in looking at Jesus, could find out what God was like and respond to God. And so after, and the key word here is mission. You find that all over the Gospel of John, that the Father has sent me. The Father has sent me. The Latin word is simply mission. So Jesus is sent by the Father, and then Jesus sends the Spirit, and the upshot of that whole business is our mission, to express to the world the reality of Jesus' life and Jesus' revelation of God. And then having done that, then Jesus, so there's this kind of downward movement, upward movement. Okay, that makes all kinds of sense. But there's another way, I think, that is, at least to me, much more immediate and significant. And that has to do with the whole business of Jesus' human career. Pardon me. What does God want of any of us? As I said last week, God wants us to grow up. And to grow up means to be free from our own preoccupation, egocentricity, free to be able to respond to people. And that takes a lifetime. So instead of seeing the ascension as some kind of reward, because as I've said over and over and deeply believe, God neither rewards nor punishes. God does neither of those things, although the language of Scripture would suggest it. But what underlies that reality is simply God does what God is, namely God loves. Period. Finish. God loves. Full stop. And you can respond to that love, or you can fail to respond to that love, which is kind of what's implicit in this passage from Mark. So the ascension is not some some kind of reward for good behavior on the part of Jesus. It is God doing what God does. God has created us human beings for herself. And the whole course of human life is the process of trying to grow up into that kind of freedom. And then the freedom, of course, it culminates in God's continuing to love, which is God's embrace of us, finally, after death. And so the ascension is the culmination of a human life, pardon me, fully lived, and received by God again. Very different from John's reading, and certainly infinitely different from this kind of sloppy, pious, holy card Jesus that we get, who seems to be airborne, and we say, well, that's all right. No. As always, the ascension of Jesus calls us to look at the shape of our own humanity in the light of his humanity.